What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to Kicks and Picks podcast. We're with you Thursday night, May 15th. Scotty, week match day 37. We are really almost there. I mean, I feel like we're regurgitating the same standings week in and week out, the same battle for top four or top five week in and week out. It's been an incredible month, but a consistent like month. So,
I mean, we'd be remiss to not call this the penultimate match week of the season.
Some are
saying. You got to call it out. Penultimate. Great word. Got to use it when it happens.
Some are saying. But man, we have another really solid slate here in England, in Italy. Top four, top five implications, European implications, cup matchups. Some cup matchups are done. Titles can be won this weekend. We're here. We made it. Maybe felt like we were never going to get this far, but still a lot to be settled, still a lot of drama. I think the way one would hope every single season goes.
Yeah, I mean, the Champions League spots in both leagues are very much up for grabs, like, and will come down to the last week no matter what. I don't think anybody's going to seal their spot up and, you know, basically lock out anybody from Champions League this weekend. So they'll we'll still have something to handicap next week. And it's always a bummer when things are already kind of decided and going into that last week, and there's really no point in trying to guess. Like, you've seen Liverpool the last 2 weeks, man. They've been literally on a beach every single day. So
vacation, yep.
Trying to handicap these teams that have nothing left to play for because they've achieved what they've needed to or failed to achieve, and there's nothing left that, for them to play for. It's tough.
No question. I think, you know, we've found some pretty good spots. Most have come through. Some still haven't. Still unpredictable. But in the EPL, I mean, we are looking at a four-point difference, and there are five teams basically vying for those last three Champions League spots, you know, and who's going to come sixth, seventh, I think. No real mobility. Brentford is officially out of that race right now. So you're talking about Newcastle on 66 points in third, City 65 points in fourth, Chelsea, Villa 63 points, and then Forest on 62. It's going to be wild, and there's some good head-to-head matchups here. A lot can happen.
Yeah, and we should call out Manchester City playing FA Cup final this weekend, so will not be playing in the league. They'll have their match against Bournemouth midweek. And with Villa and Chelsea playing different teams, it's very possible that City are on the outside looking in come Monday on these Champions League spots, which is an interesting place to be considering probably Pep's last season at City will be next year.
And we called it like 2 weeks ago, like, nope, City's in. Like, there's nothing that could happen that would take City out. They've defied the odds to get back into the top four. Have they? You're right.
Yeah. I mean, the good news for them is a win puts them at 68, meaning, you know, Chelsea and Villa would both need to win, or one of those teams would need to win out completely to pass them. Their last two games are winnable. Bournemouth and Fulham, tricky games. Don't get me wrong, but should be winning at least one of those. 4 points obviously gets them in no matter what. So it's still favorable for them. It's a different mentality. You know, you win the FA Cup on Sunday. Maybe you go out and celebrate. You come back Monday a little, you know, worse for the wear. And really only have a day or two turnaround before you got to go play Bournemouth, who can be tricky. They haven't really finished the season as strong as they've started. We were talking about Areola's team being one of the surprises of the season, similar to Forest. Both of those teams have lost steam in March and April. Bournemouth probably more so than Forest, but still can't count them out. You know, like, they are capable. They do have dangerous players in attack. We're seeing some of these Bournemouth defenders now getting plucked to various teams, going to Real Madrid or potentially Liverpool for Kirkez. So, talented team.
I mean, listen, we got 2 weeks left. We can still dream for a Champions League without Manchester City. It's not likely.
Great.
It's not plausible, but
Pep having to finish his tenure at Manchester City playing at Sturm Graz in Europa League would be unbelievable.
The kids call that cinema.
Yeah,
I believe. Let's root for it. Who knows? It may or may not come through. But to your point, you know, City team that people forget, they have lost 9 games this year. They have given up well over a goal a game this year. Anything's possible.
Sure.
Speaking of anything's possible, Coach Steve has joined us.
I made it.
The man is back. Possible. What's up, coach?
Tired and run ragged, but I made it tonight.
Hell yeah.
I got Luca falling asleep by like 8:30-ish, so.
That's it, man. Hopefully he passed you some winners before you jumped
slightly,
on stream.
Slightly a little more time to myself.
Hell yeah, dude. Bring the winners with you. Now, we were just going through the EPL, basically the standings and where we line up here with hope of Newcastle passing Arsenal. That would be a cool little trophy, you know, a kicks and picks trophy. We will hand them out, you know, the award for passing Arsenal on that one. City, not necessarily locked into a Champions League spot. I mean, it would take an awful lot, but it is possible. So
I know for a while it looked like it might happen, and then teams started fading.
Unfortunately, we're looking at you, Nottingham Forest. It is squarely your fault. I mean, that's I am in that camp of if this happens, Forest is to blame.
Yeah, I mean, they've gotten 5 points in their last six games, five out of their last 15, dropping 10 points coming down the stretch. If they just held on a couple of those, they'd be ahead of City. You know, if they'd gotten one more win, they'd be pretty much even with City. But man, it's tough. I mean, that just kind of goes to show, like, it's tough to kind of maintain that intensity for a full 38 games. And it's why it's, you know, taking on a team like City for the title, or even taking on some of these traditional top six teams for these top four Champions League spots, is so hard for these clubs, these smaller clubs, because it's just such a long season. You need to have a deep squad. You need to have talented players, you know, 1 through 15 on that depth chart, and got to get a little bit of injury luck too.
No question. Johnny, what's up, brother? Thank you for joining as always. So yeah, let's hop right in, man. We got a big one to kick off the weekend here in England. Aston Villa at home to Tottenham. Villa is a big, big, big favorite in this one, -290. Tottenham is +650. We mentioned Villa currently sitting in sixth, even on points with Chelsea, two behind City, one ahead of Forest. So they have won four out of their last five. They have not looked convincing in doing so, but they've getting the results they need to get. Obviously going to be going all in this game. They need 3 points. There's just no two ways about it. And we have a Tottenham team who we've talked about them sitting above relegation on 17th place, but they are in a European final this week. So that is 100% what they are looking ahead to. They have absolutely nothing to play for. I don't even know that they could come up, show up and play spoiler. So would love your guys' 2 cents on this.
Is there a wild Spurs or United will be in the Champions League next year, finishing in likely 15th or lower?
Our squads are
part to blame, right, Nick? Because we didn't do what we should have in the Europa
League. Oh, no question.
Not that we played them directly.
So Scott's going to come on. He's going to argue that the 15th place team in England is likely better than a, you know, fourth place team in Portugal or something like that.
Well, I'll put it this way. What do you think? Let's go back to the start of season. Let's put ourselves at August 15th, 2024. What's more wild for you guys? Is it crazier for you to think that United or Tottenham would finish 16th and 17th? Or is it crazier to think that either of those teams would win Europa League before the season begins? You think it's crazier for them to finish, to win the Europa?
No. Yes. No, finish 16th or 17th to me would be more crazy, because looking at some of the teams are behind, I would never imagine them behind the, you know, West Ham's and Wolves.
I didn't look at either of these teams with either of their coaches as they started the season saying this team can win silverware. So it's a valid question, and it's very clear, like razor thin. I know what you mean. Yeah. Like, you'd never, ever expect either team to finish that low.
Yeah.
But if you told me one was going to win silverware, no way.
I think in Europa League, though, like the Premier League representatives, the La Liga, the Serie A, Bundesliga, like those teams are always in play for a Europa League title, I feel like. Same with Champions League and, you know, obviously Conference League, too. I feel like if you're from one of those four leagues, you're probably in play. So I don't think it's that crazy. But I also didn't think we'd see a Spurs this bad. I think Spurs would have been more likely of the two, if you asked me preseason, who could win the Europa League for sure.
Yeah. Definitely. Better, I mean, yeah. I guess, better roster, better coach at
recent
the time,
results.
Is he? Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
Consistency. I mean,
the point that I'll make here is it's kind of tandem to what I was saying earlier about how it's tough for these teams to kind of surpass these top six or eight clubs who just have money and will throw in, you know, millions and millions of euros at talented players to build out that squad 1 through 18 or whatever. In a knockout competition, I know there's a league table now, whatever, in Champions League in Europa, but in like a knockout format, you know, you only got to win a couple games to make it to the final. So teams like Tottenham and United, who have spent tons of money and have deep squads that have underperformed but are still deep and talented, can go to against some of these lower sides from Portugal or Belgium or what have you, and get results. It's not something that's like out of the realm of possibility, even in their worst form. So I'm not terribly surprised that either of them are in the Europa final. I'm more surprised that both of them are in it. I think that's the bigger piece.
Right.
And I think, speaking of what you said about knockout competition, I think the Roma of Mourinho was the like poster child for that, right?
100%.
Fifth, sixth best team in Serie A, maybe even, I guess they finished sixth.
Atalanta did it too.
Yeah.
For a while. You know, it's just, you can get favorable draws. You can get, you know, the results you need, and then, you know, game plan that second leg. Yeah.
West Ham last year is less surprising to me than these two teams this year.
Okay.
That's also Conference League, though.
Still.
I'll say I'm more surprised about United. If you can score goals and Spurs can score goals, you can get results. United have not been able to score, and their defense hasn't actually been particularly strong either.
Yeah.
So them making it through, that's probably the more surprising piece.
Yeah.
Fair enough. All right. So what are we going to bet in this game? The Villa money line first half minus 120. I don't know. I'm trying to what could we find to bet?
I think my favorite pick in this, I like the both teams to score in over 2.5. It's minus 125. Both teams to score has hit in 61% of Villa matches, 60% of Tottenham matches. Both teams, like we said, we already talked about Spurs, but obviously Villa, no strangers to scoring goals, especially in the second half of the season. Over 2.5 has hit in 24 of Villa matches, 23 Spurs matches. So it's not a super juicy number, but minus 125 is very playable. I think that's as locky as you'll get all weekend.
And they've met twice this year in the league and FA Cup. The reverse fiction league was a 4-1 Spurs win, obviously at Tottenham. And then Villa won the 2-1 in the FA Cup. So you hit that bet both times. And it feels that way, right? These teams feel like they play those over 2.5 games routinely. Neither one keeps clean sheets that often. I think that is a good way to go. You know, as I say that, Villa's coming off back-to-back clean sheets against Bournemouth and Fulham. But when you scroll through most of the results, there's not too many clean sheets. I think the over 2.5 and both teams to score is a good number, because just going over 2.5, the number's not going to be good enough. You need the both teams to score aspect.
Yeah, I'm interested to see what kind of lineup Spurs trot out there, right? If they're telling me Solanke's getting a start, him to get a shot on target minus 135, I'd probably play that on its own. Certainly a parlay piece in the same game parlay or with something else. Other than that, it's going to very likely be a pass for me, other than the bet you guys just gave out.
Yeah. I mean, if you're trying to play something a little creative, Nick, I know you called out the first half line. Aston Villa, only team in the top 10 to have a losing record in the first half. They are 11, 15, and 10 in the first half. And Spurs, surprisingly, have a winning record in the first half, 14, 6, and 16. That's actually not as surprising, because I think we've seen Spurs drop points in the second half time and time again. And Spurs, weirdly enough, have a positive goal differential all the way down in 17th place at plus 4, which is crazy. It's insane that they have a positive goal differential.
They'll only have like a 7 goal differential.
Yeah. So
it's not like
they score often, right? I mean, and when they have good matches, like the reverse fixture against Villa, they'll put up 4 goals in a match, right? There's a plus 3 right there. So you can get away with that when you can pile up the goals and the wins, I guess, and maybe lose closer matches like 4-3 and things like that.
All right. Well, now if we're going to have a little bit of fun, both teams to score first half is plus 285. Both teams to score second half is plus 180. I mean,
that's a better number, I think.
No. It's going to happen. If we think both teams are scoring and it's over 2.5, that's happening in one of these halves.
Yeah. I like the second half, because, again, Villa have been a second half team for the most of the season.
And I mean, Tottenham just to score in the first half is plus 155.
Don't hate that. I mean, like I said, if I was thinking about taking Tottenham plus 425 in a small wager on the first half money line, just based off of those trends, it's a big enough number, knowing how slow Villa has gotten off to start some of their games this season. It's worth a shot.
Yeah. I'm wondering if we can get a, hold on.
And if they're a team that scores early, money line up to the 30th minute interval play, not something I even look at too often, but I was just scrolling through and Spurs plus 500.
Yeah.
It's kind of wild.
Man, if I could get a number on it, and they don't really show it this way, but like Villa to score, I don't know, like a team total second half or something like that.
Mm.
I don't know. Second half highest scoring -110.
Yep.
I can get behind that. So, I mean, listen, Villa have to win this game and Spurs have to be distracted. There's just, we did a lot of talk, but that has to be true, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that's, I mean, fair. Spurs has to go all in on Europa League. That's a golden ticket right there. When you're in this spot in the table and you have Champions League within your grasp by just beating a United side that has been as bad as you this year, I mean, that would be something to finish, like I said, 17th and be in the Champions League. And with their finances, they're one of those teams that could do that, right? Like, it's not like a club that wins the FA Cup or Coppa Italia, like an Empoli, right? They made it to the semis this year. If they finish 17th and won the Copa and are going to Europa League, they're not going to be able to compete in Europa League next year because they don't have the finances to do it. Spurs can compete in Champions League next year because they'll have the money,
especially with the new format.
Do it, yeah.
Especially with the new format, because you know you're getting two or three dud games, you know.
Yeah, minimum.
No doubt. So, no, interesting. Interesting look. So, we got it there. Let's move along here. Next one up, Chelsea at home to Man United. So, Spurs opponent in this matchup. And the odds are very, very similar. The situation's very, very similar. Yeah. Chelsea -235, favorite at home. United +550. And a draw at +400. Wouldn't that be something? Just as a refresher, if you didn't hear me the first five times I said it, Chelsea currently in fifth on 63 points. So they need 3 points as badly as anybody. United, very clearly looking ahead to the game we're talking about. Are we taking the same strategy in this game?
I almost definitely am. Again, both teams to score over 2.5 is -110. Both of these teams have just 9 clean sheets on the season. Not exactly, like we were talking about with United, not exactly a stout defense for them. Chelsea are going to be desperate. It's a must-win game for them. If they concede one, they're going to need two. So I don't mind that either. I think United are going to be distracted enough where I could see Chelsea banging in 3 or 4, honestly. But I feel like Chelsea's defense is not quite up to par for very much reason why they're battling for Champions League still at this point. So I don't mind even taking that same bet we just took in Villa Tottenham and playing it again in this game.
Yeah, and when does Chelsea have the final, the 20th? So they have a little extra rest time. They have until next week, so they're not going to be as distracted as United. They play Batiste in that Conference League final, but it's not for another week, so their focus will be all
that's,
in
that's
here.
Coming up, dude. It's 15th today.
The 28th, it says.
Oh, 28th.
They're
sorry, I thought
you said 20th. So, bad. 28th, okay. That's like the lead up to the Champions League final. So, yeah, and obviously this is going to be more important because you could finish in the top five and get Champions League is going to trump a Conference League and a Europa League berth. So I think, Chelsea, the way to go. I agree with Scott. I think it's kind of redundant with the first match, but I think it's a similar situation. Teams that score don't defend all that well in terms of keeping clean sheets. Maybe there'll be some player props out there or something, or like, something a little more gimmicky like we were talking about. But
I mean, got to see lineups.
Putting too much into this,
Yeah, I'm looking at. It's so funny because we don't usually record on Thursday, so now all the player props are in front of me and they're available for us to look at. Bruno Fernandes' shot on target is even money if he is starting. I don't know that he starts, but if he's starting, that's a number I'm really interested in.
Yeah, I'll match you. Enzo Fernandes, scorer in 2 of the last 3 games, shot on target -110.
Yeah,
I think his goal scorer number is actually pretty playable too. He's +390. So
I'm kind of there. I agree.
Keep that trend going.
Normally, this is a match I would look for cards, but not going to do it. I'm struggling to find really anything else without knowing what United's lineup's going to look like. Just can't lay. Same thing. Like the numbers are too big to lay. The spread's not there. Chelsea probably wins.
Yeah, it's just the situation dictates these numbers too much to find a lot of value, I think.
Like, what's a Chelsea Aston Villa money line like parlay look like? I don't want to get involved in that. I'm just kidding, but that's like something we could do.
It is
and Villa is
-111.
-110.
Yeah.
Did you ever think you'd say I'd be saying? There you go, Johnny's on it.
Yeah. Might be the way to go, honestly. If you believe that strongly that these other two aren't going to come out, firing on all cylinders because they're looking ahead to the midweek, then it could be the way to go.
All right, just very quickly, can we talk about Cole Palmer? Like, when it like what a waste of a season for him.
Yeah, not a great follow-up to a season where he was, you know, one of the top three players easily in the league. But honestly, like, it, that's kind of the problem with how this Chelsea squad has been crafted, is they have so many guys that they got to try to find minutes for, and yep, they're not just going to say, like, hey, you know, we're going to play with you and deal with your ups and downs throughout the season, right? Like, Salah has an incredible season this season, but he's also had a period of time in April where he was largely non-existent in terms of goals and assists. I mean, obviously he's still everywhere on the pitch, but and I feel like having that type of a lull in Chelsea squad, maybe Mohamed Salah name aside, is enough to get you time on the bench. And right, it's hard to really get that rhythm and keep it going when you're constantly rotating in and out of that lineup. So it's certainly a disappointing season for him. Maybe a little question on just exactly how these attackers are being rotated and used for Chelsea, but you know, that's kind of the name of the game for them right now. They're going to be spending another $200 million in the summer. And
right. No, that's what I was going to say. It's just something worth keeping an eye on. Can he bounce back on this team? Because presumably they're keeping the coach because they're either making Champions League or winning some sort of trophy, or maybe both. They're going to spend a ton of money. So just something to keep an eye on, but really disappointing showing from him.
Yeah, for sure.
So, all right, let's roll on to the final big game of the weekend. Arsenal at home to Newcastle. Second and third place. If Newcastle get 3 points, they will overtake Arsenal for second place, which was probably unthinkable for pretty much the entire season. Yeah. So Arsenal is even money favorite here at home. Castle plus 270. That draw also sitting at plus 270. A draw no bet on Newcastle, plus 170. Some value to be had. This is an Arsenal team that is kind of in free fall. They have one win in their last, what, six games in the league?
Mm-hmm.
Why should anybody back them?
I don't know. Yeah. I think they're kind of out to lunch. It's similar to Liverpool, but for different reasons. You know, I think.
Oh, wait, Kai Havertz trained today.
Yeah, I mean, he's not going to play. I mean, there's no way he plays this season. There's no point in bringing him back. There's nothing left for them to really play for at this point. So that's great, but I still think you're going to see the same guys that you've been seeing for the last week, or not weeks, last like 3 or 4 weeks. So Newcastle, draw no bet. Plus 170. Yeah,
plus 175.
That's a great number. I mean, I know, Nick, you're going to, you know, try to advocate for double chance here at minus 125, which is also fair too. But
I would.
Yeah, I don't know.
Hey, their team total is plus 170 also. I mean, that's just another decent way to look at it. Arsenal's giving up goals.
Yeah. So I'm probably riding Newcastle in some capacity here, whether you want to take a larger number and give up some of that, you know, guaranteed win for a double chance. That's up to you.
Yeah, Coach, I think either of those is the way to go. It depends on how, you know, risk averse you want to be, right? Do you want to take that the payout on the draw and take the minus 125? Or if you think they can really get it done at Arsenal, then I think you take the draw no bet. If you think it's, you know, I think if you're in the mindset like they're definitely not losing this match, but I'm not quite sure they win, then you take that minus 125. But if you're feeling Newcastle, plus 175 is a great number, the draw no bet, considering they've had their number. They've beaten three straight going back to last year.
Yeah.
Clean sheets, all three of them too, I believe, looking back.
That's the good stat right there. Yeah. I was going to say, it's tough to beat somebody that many times in a year, and then you go and look
No, three times this year. Because there was the head-to-head in the EFL Cup, the two other ones. So, yeah, matching 2-0 wins, home and away in the League Cup, 1-0 win in the league back in November at home. I mean, that speaks to something, because Newcastle can defend pretty well compared to like some of the other teams we've talked about previously. And we know Arsenal, like, they don't have that true striker. They've got, you know, Jesus has been out for so long, and Havertz wasn't the answer, and he's out hurt still. And where the goal is coming from.
Marino's out this game. I forget if he's Marino's hurt or suspended.
Okay, so,
yeah. I just, again, I'm going to ask the question that I'd love to ask if anybody
taking Newcastle in some capacity. And I think, you know, I'm a sucker for the draw no bet when they're a big number like that. So I lean plus 175.
More than fair.
Yeah.
More than fair. I would take the money line. I think plus 270 is a good enough number to take a stab with the money line. Well, why wouldn't you in this scenario? It is difficult to beat somebody three times in the year, but then I just saw Barcelona do it with Real Madrid. So
get this. Newcastle clean sheet to do it again for a fourth time is plus 390. Not saying it's a lock. Not saying it's, you know, definitely going to hit, but it might be something worth a small play on, considering they've had their number and they haven't conceded, and Arsenal's been struggling.
Yeah, that's fair. I think the interesting part about this is we consider this Arsenal team as a pretty stout defensive team that's been largely struggling on offense for various reasons with injuries and whatnot over the last couple months. But games at Emirates, averaging 2.8 goals a game. It's a pretty high number. I thought that's going to be closer to two. The over 2.5, I think, is sitting there at minus 135, which tends to agree with that
low
number.
For this game.
Yeah, it's I don't know. It there seems like there's going to be goals unexpectedly in this, and I guess it's going to be, you know, driven by Newcastle and their offense. So there's probably player props out on Newcastle that's worth taking.
And I wouldn't even say unexpected. We got Eduardo's comment up here on the screen. I mean, yeah, they're both still fighting for their guaranteed spot, right? They're both going to be going for 3 points. So could easily see it, even though it hasn't happened yet this season. It could happen this game.
So I don't know. I'm trying to look through here. I mean, Alexander Isak has been the first goal scorer in 7 of his 33 starts this year. He's sitting there plus 550. You know, Newcastle's going to be out on the front foot. I could see him being that first goal scorer if you really want to take a little player prop action.
I don't hate it. Anything else in this one?
That's all I got.
All right, I dig it. So that will wrap up the big games in EPL. We got an equally stacked slate here in Italy. I am going to go into the standings really quickly. Napoli on top, 78. Inter one behind, 77. Atalanta just secured Champions League for next year with their win, 71 points in third. And then the dogfight begins. Juve, Lazio both on 64 points. Roma on 63. Bologna, winners of the Coppa Italia this week, on 62. Milan, Fiorentina hanging out with 60 and 59. So 5 points separate six teams for a spot here. I mean, I think it would take an awful lot for Milan or Fiorentina to get up there, but some head-to-head matchups, crazier things have happened. Realistically, a 3 or 4 team race here for that last spot, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. Let's hop into the games. I'm just going in chronological order. Inter at home to my Lazio, minus 165 favorites. Lazio plus 380. That draw sitting at plus 290. If I was just rooting for chaos, I would take the draw at plus 290. Do I think Lazio have it in them? I think if they would have beaten Juve last week, a game that they outplayed Juve, by the way, and were up a man for quite some time. Saw a stat that Lazio haven't won a game up a man since like 2016 or something crazy like that. Like they just can't seem to do it. Would have felt a little bit better, but you know, I know Inter, they're caught between a rock and a hard place. They're in the Champions League final. They want their guys to be healthy for that matchup. Lautaro may or may not feature in this one. I thought I saw he might not feature, so potentially not a full strength squad, but really hard pressed for me to back Lazio in this one away from home. Inter's had our number. So that's my hot take as a fan. Would love non-biased. What are you guys seeing in this one? What are the odds telling you? Does Lazio have a chance to upset the party here?
I didn't realize that 9 of the matches in Serie A this week are all on Sunday at 2:45. Usually they save that for the last match week. Yeah. But I guess because there's relegation.
The league can be decided this week.
Yeah, it's wild.
Bro, Eduardo coming through with the fucking stats, dude. Thank you so much. But thank you for also Lautaro confirming that I'm a genius.
Is out, yeah. So looking like a Taremi-Taram pairing, according to Gazzetta's projections right now up top. Yeah, I mean, Inter has no reason to rest anybody because they have a couple weeks before the Champions League final, so they're not going to be distracted in that sense. Having these matches simultaneously certainly adds a little more intrigue to it because it's not like Inter can sit there and watch and see if Napoli drops points ahead of time or vice versa in this title race for the last 2 weeks now. I expect both of them to get it done this weekend. You know, Inter's definitely got the tougher match, but they are the home team in this one. I do think Inter gets it done. In terms of betting it, I wish it was a better number than 165. I'm not going to 165 for a match that, to me, I could see them tripping up because they've done it this year in other matches against some of these like top six type teams. No, Lautaro makes it tougher on them. Curious to see if Taram or Taremi can step up and get it done. But yeah, I mean, it's tough because Lazio's going to be just as hungry as them. So they're not going to be able to take their foot off the gas at any point in this match. In terms of betting it, I got to kind of maybe go through as Scott's talking and see if
both teams to score at minus 130 is the initial bet that stood out to me when I was looking at this game.
before I make any picks, can I ask you guys a question here? I'm looking at the lines over the past couple days for Moneyline. Inter opened at around minus 150, and that got bet down all the way to almost even money until Sunday, when obviously both teams, or when Lazio drew against Juve and then Napoli drew, meaning Inter needing a win, all of a sudden people started hammering Inter again. And that number has obviously come back to minus 165.
Up a little bit,
Do you think the public money is more about thinking that, hey, Inter think they're going to have a shot and now they're going to go all out to win this? Or is it more of a reaction to Lazio maybe having a draw against Juve in a game that they probably would have preferred to win given their Champions League hopes?
I think it has more to do with the Inter aspect, right? And Inter, looking back at the previous two matches this year in the league and the Coppa, Inter went to the Stadio Olimpico back in December and deliver 6-0.
Yeah, 6.
Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas, Lazio. I remember I forgot that who they had gotten hammered by. It was
Inter. One of Inter's three amazing performances this year.
Yeah, that the Atalanta match early in the season, right? And then there was one other one, I think. And then they beat them 2-0 in the Coppa back in February, pretty recently. So I mean, you have to favor Inter here. Do they get another clean sheet and multi-goal win? I don't know, because, you know, situation dictates that Lazio's got to go all out too.
Yep.
But yeah, I can't even say that looking back at that like both teams have scored is like a gimme, because Lazio's had trouble. I mean,
yep. No, that's fair.
It tends to hit in Lazio matches, but this Inter side, I mean, they don't have to worry about Champions League final until after the league calendar wraps up now. It's not like they have a semifinal coming up midweek like, you know, they've had to worry about another situation. So I think Inter wins. I think they end Lazio's Champions League hopes for good here because of tiebreak scenarios and such, even if Lazio wins the last one. But, you know, and I don't just say that because I'm a Roma fan and, you know, Roma's competing too. It's just I just think reality says that Inter is going to go balls to the wall for these last two matches, hoping that Napoli slips up.
And I agree, and this is going to come out sounding like a sick joke, but it's reality. Like, back me up on this here, Steve. This is essentially Lazio Scudetto, though. Like, getting fourth place is the equivalent of a team like Inter or Juve or Milan winning a Scudetto, right? Like,
at that point in our history, Roma and Lazio top four is like winning Scudetto because of financial implications,
so,
and the prestige and such. Yeah,
I again don't expect them necessarily to win, but if they came out to this game and didn't even get a goal, I'd be upset. This is the game you have. You know, there's two left. This is the culmination of your season. I don't think anybody expected Lazio to be this high up in the table. I know I certainly didn't. That has a lot to do with how poor Roma's start was, how poor Bologna's start was, how poor Milan's season has been. So I don't think, you know, this was always kind of a rebuilding season. But I'm going to walk away with a bitter taste in my mouth if they drop down and finish like seventh. Because they were right there.
It's dangerous. It's dangerous times. Like, I look at the same thing for Roma, and I'm like, man, if they finish outside of top five, now with Bologna sitting outside the top six places now Conference League. And I've been talking all season on Across Roma versus, like, give me top six or give me eighth, because I don't want to, not for nothing, I don't want to bother with Conference League again because it saps energy. No, like, it was nice to have Roma win a trophy.
I've been preaching that for years, and you guys laughed at me.
It was nice to win a trophy. Enjoyed it because Roma doesn't win much silverware, so I would never give that back. But now that they've won it, it's almost like, give me top six, or now possibly top five, or give me eighth. Because for a club that's trying to get back to Champions League, look what Napoli's done this year. Look at what Juve did last year. Like, it makes the path for one of those top six type clubs in Italy in terms of like size so much easier to get to a top four finish.
Yep. Agree. So, Scotty, you threw questions, you threw stats, and amazing detail there on the line movement. And that's one of the reasons why, you know, we try to hop on Wednesday, which is 4 days before a lot of these matches. Line movement's real. Like, you don't often see one that's 65 cents that goes up and down like that, but it is possible. And that's why we try to get on early. It's why I always really advocate, if you find a number that you like, take it. You know, there's circumstance. There's always going to be circumstance. Maybe the referee hasn't been announced yet. Maybe somebody didn't, lineup's not announced yet. Whatever. You can't control a lot of that, but you can control the number that you get. So somebody who got into it, even money, you know, to the bank, you could put multiple units on that, but you're not going to take them at minus 165, even though you think they're going to win.
Now, if it was still hovering around minus 120 to even money, I'd be all over it. But minus 165, you're right. You're not going to risk a potential draw in this situation there.
So anyway, Scotty, what's your bet here if you have one?
Can I try to talk you guys into Lazio plus one at minus 130? I mean, if they lose, are they really going to get blown out? I get it. It's on the road, but...
I mean, we saw what they've done this year against
them. I don't hate it. Yeah. I think if you're not giving all-out maximum effort to try to win this game, it's a failure of a season, just plain and simple. So,
yeah. I mean, I think we're all in agreement. Lazio probably going to score. Like, it would be...
I think they do.
I think, yeah, it's you know, their Scudetto, as Nick said. So for them to get shut out in this game, even on the road, in a season where they're averaging, you know, better than a goal and a half per season, or per game, excuse me. I think them plus one is a pretty fair bet. Like, I could see this being a 1-1, maybe a 2-1 if Inter pull it out. I don't know that this is going, you know, 3-0 or anything like that. It just doesn't feel like that kind of a game to me.
Pedro plus 400.
Yeah, I don't mind them getting a goal and eating a little juice on that.
Yo, Eduardo, you're throwing out so many facts here on the comments, bro. You're going to have to hop on with us soon, dude. Appreciate you. So I'm kind of with you, Scotty. I could dig that play. Both teams to score is kind of where I'm at in this one. Other than that.
Minus 130, yeah.
Like, a draw at plus 290 is not the craziest thing in the world. If it was a little higher, if it was a plus 350, plus 375, I'm definitely more interested. But crazier shit. Or we come back next week and, you know, Inter 1-4-0.
Yeah. And Nick is sad because that's the end of Lazio season.
Yeah, pretty much. All right, let's talk about the end of Roma season. They are at home, favored, taking on the most disappointing team in Serie A this year. I don't know that we can color it any other way. It's AC Milan, losers of the Coppa Italia this week, did not even get on the score sheet against Bologna. Tough pill to swallow for these guys. Very, very, very much on the outside looking in. As mentioned, they are, I mean, 4 points back. I don't know how somehow they're only 4 points back. Yeah. So they need three in this game. If they win this game, they are actually level with Roma. Didn't think that would even be possible. Plus 125 for Roma, plus 185 for Milan, plus 245 on the draw. Coach, I'll let you go first. Are you backing your boys scorers of one goal in nine straight games? Or do we think Milan Scudetto, which is this game right here, absolute must win? There's no two ways about it for them either. What happens in this one?
And I think Milan Scudetto was the Coppa Italia final, because that was a ticket to Europa 2.0. They definitely took the title, or Roma forcibly gave them the title of most disappointing team in Serie A after Roma turned it around under Ranieri. You know, I'm always the optimist. Roma's played well. I mean, losing to Atalanta on the road, there's no shame in that. You know, Roma 19 straight unbeaten in the league before that loss. Almost were able to keep it tight and maybe get the point, but didn't happen. I mean, this Stadio Olimpico was me sold out. Ranieri's last match as Roma manager in his third stint, came back and really saved the club this time around. And he's going to be lauded for that by the Curva Sud and the rest of the crowd. I think the crowd's really going to be behind Roma. I get the impression Roma will obviously be going all out because they still are only a point out of Champions League place. Not outside the realm of possibility that Juve could drop points somewhere. You know, crazier things have happened. I do like the number, obviously, plus 125, but I just keep going back to the fact that they keep scoring one goal every match. Like,
nine straight.
And it works against the smaller clubs. They've won a lot of those matches 1-0. Three of them, though, it didn't. 1-1 draw with Lazio, 1-1 draw with Juve, 2-1 loss to Atalanta this past week. That has been my one gripe working for Chiesa this year, talking about these matches, is that they just can't seem to find a second goal in some of these matches and kill them off. And that's been a bit frustrating. I don't think they shut Milan out, but then Bologna just did it. So maybe they do. Also, Milan will be less rested, coming off a disappointing result. No traveling fans because of the shenanigans that went on post Coppa Italia or pre-Coppa Italia final against Bologna. The Milan traveling fans have been banned, so they'd have no crowd support. I mean, I tend to side with my team. I'm going to probably take the money line when it's plus 125, but that could be just being the optimist here.
Yeah, I mean, that number has gotten bet up to that too, right? It opened around, I think Roma was was minus like 110 or around there. And then it seems like people are reacting to Milan beating up on Bologna 3-1 on the weekend and have come in and taken advantage of that number. So, Coach, I think you get a little added benefit there. But yeah, I mean, this is a game where I feel like Milan have to show up in some capacity, but do they have enough to beat Roma? Probably not. So I'm inclined to agree with you, Coach, although I don't know. I wish DronoBet was a little bit more playable than number. It's minus 145 now, so I might take that and throw that in a couple parlays just to kind of zhuzh it up a bit. But it does, the safer play
because the goal scoring aspect.
Yeah, it feels like a game where Roma should get the result and 3 points. And unfortunately, I say that in front of Nick, but I don't know that I fully trust them because after watching the play in the weekend and needing a couple shot on target hits that I stressed out for the full 90 minutes, I don't have a whole lot of faith in their offense. So it's tough.
I agree. I was waiting for John to throw his bet there in the chat or his thoughts in the chat. I think you guys are ultimately right. The plus 125 scares me. Like if it was still sitting at minus 110, I'm hopping all over Roma, quite honestly. Like it just scares me a tad. Can I just come in, be the contrarian, get burned by Milan one last time and take a draw no bet at plus 115 on them? I don't know. Maybe. I mean, if you want to look at a bigger number over 1.5 goals for Milan is plus 125. I don't think they get shut out two games in a row. They need the game. I don't know. I'm just trying to hang my hat on. They need the game. Roma needs it too. This is a very similar scenario to the last one. Really tough. But if Milan don't come out and show anything, you have to almost blow that entire team up. Like top to bottom, I don't even know that there's a player on the roster that I would keep. They're talking about Reinders already getting sold to Manchester City.
Been one of their best players.
If that happens, there's honestly not a player on the roster that I keep. Maybe Pulisic for marketing.
I don't know.
So let me pose this one. I posed it to you, Nick. It's a Roma related one. I put in a future. I think I mentioned on the show when I was on with Scotty. Roma plus 10,000 to finish top four. It is now, going into last week, it was looking a little bit better, and then Roma lost that match at Atalanta. It was only a $10 bet. I'll be transparent just to put the values out there. So, if they finish top four, it's $1,000 free and clear. If right now the current cash out is plus $170, what are the odds that Roma is able to pass Juve with Juve playing Udinese and I think Venezia the last two matches? Like, is that a cash out situation or is that a hold on to the ticket situation?
That's a cash out and you wait. And if you are in a position where Roma to win would get you into that, then you put the 170 on Roma money line in that game. If you really wanted to, that's what I would do. And if they're not, then you have your 170 free and clear.
Yeah.
Yeah. Listen, I'm torn on it. I think you kind of placed the bet for fun at the beginning, but it turned into a real possibility as every week just kind of went by. Making 170 off of 10 is no slouch. That's
a
plus 1700.
It's a great hit in horse racing.
A plus 1600 bet, right? So that's a better exacta than I think the three of us have hit all season, right? At fucking Gulfstream. So I wouldn't knock you for cashing out, but also you can't look at the current value of the ticket. You have to look at it as, hey, I lost $10.
Yeah.
If you're cool with losing $10, no reason to not let it ride. If you're looking at it as losing 170, like Scotty said, just, I don't know, take it.
Take it. And again, if they get in that position at the last week where you're like, oh shit, you can go ahead and throw them on money line or money line in a, over 1.5 or whatever and not feel bad about it.
Maybe double it up or something. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, if the listeners want to weigh in on Twitter.
Yeah. I mean, last week,
whatever.
I'd love
to get people's opinions. I know last week was the week.
If they had gotten something out of that game, you're looking at
plus
250 cash out.
Oh, yeah. If they're level on points and it comes down to a goal differential situation, because they drew Juve both times. So the tiebreak becomes goal differential. I think Juve is like plus two better or something right now. Whereas with Lazio, I know the tiebreak Roma owns because they beat them. They took 4 points from them. So that's where it's tough, where they would need to win out Milan and Torino, and then they would need Juve to at least draw one of those matches. A draw is enough, but is Udinese going to go to the
You needed a Lazio win last week, too. Yeah. Or like that was the other alternative. You really needed a Lazio win almost as much as I did.
Yeah.
In any case, fun story, great ticket.
Yeah.
Hey, that's what it's all about. When has a plus 10,000 been any closer to hitting? Whether
never,
it hits or not.
I never thought it'd be that close. I just threw it in there for fun. I think I put it in literally like right at the end of February when they first started playing well. Like plus 10,000, what the hell?
Whether it hits or not, it's fucking awesome. So, all right, let's check out this last game with implications. We have Fiorentina at home to Bologna. Bologna on 62 points. They are two back from Juve. And Fiorentina outside looking in, 59 points. I think if they want to make Europe, which is seventh place, they will need three in this one to have any sort of shot at that. Toss up game, plus 165.
Right now, Europe is sixth unless Bologna finishes sixth. And I think that the seventh becomes Conference League again.
Right. I just assumed they would be in the top six.
Yeah, assuming they do. But if Bologna finishes outside top six,
cooked.
Yeah.
So
top seven, I guess. I don't know.
Can I get you guys an analogy? I feel like Bologna and Fiorentina are the Nottingham Forest and Bournemouth of Serie A this season.
I would say Nottingham Forest and Villa.
Yeah, because Bologna did make Champions League last year. The
Villa might still finish in the Champions League, though. I don't think you're looking at Bologna. You think they have a shot at finishing in the top four?
No, but they won the cup. They accomplished something.
You know what the shittiest part about that is? The whole top five thing is like last year, top five Champions League. This year, for Nick and I, like Roma and Lazio are finally like there. Definitely one of them should finish top five. And fucking everybody shit the bed in Europe and pulled the rug out of that scenario.
Yep. Mm. Including us. I mean, we have ourselves to blame too.
Including us. Yeah, I mean,
you know, we lost to fucking Bodo. So
yeah,
you've been there. Toss up game. Plus 165 each of these guys on the money line. The draw is at plus 205. That I think we could end our conversation because this game's going to end in a draw. Minus 110 draw, no bet for both of these teams. Quite honestly, the form guide is not too good. We have Fiorentina, who's lost two straight in the league. They've dropped points in I think four out of their last six. We have a Bologna
without a win.
Yep, Bologna's three straight without a win here. Obviously, you know, they did pick up that midweek cup, but what kind of Bologna are we going to get here? Are they going to be going for it, or are they going to be hungover from their first silverware in forever? That's the question to answer.
Yeah, it's a tough call because I think you're right. Bologna's got to be a little hungover from that win, right? Fiorentina, they've been underwhelming of late. I know two of those four that I mentioned were in the Conference League to Betis, who eliminated them in the semifinals. They've made it to the semis. They're better three straight years in Conference League and haven't been able to get the job done. I don't know how much that's still hanging over their heads or not at this point. It's been it's been a couple weeks now. But they lost to Venezia right after that.
Terrible performance.
Buoyed Venezia's hopes of maybe surviving, right? So it feels like a draw could be the play here. Mm-hmm. But I feel like a draw, no bet on the team you like better might be the better play just because I don't bet the draw line a lot.
Yeah.
It's tough, the draw line. I feel like, I mean, there's enough draws in football or soccer, calcio, whatever you want to call it, on a week-to-week basis. But I just feel like I always rather just take a team, especially when they're both plus money like this, to take a draw, no bet, and pick the side to like better. And if it's a draw, you just kind of walk away.
Nope.
Yeah. I got two stats. One real stat, one fun stat. Real stat. Both teams have scored in at least 75% of their games in Serie A this season. Both teams have conceded a goal, at least one goal, in 67% of their games this season. Both teams have scored is minus 115.
Yep.
I like that the most. So that's the 100%.
That's my bet. I was right there with you. Minus 115. I dig it. I like coach's logic as well. I think if you believe in one of these teams over the other, team totals are both sitting at plus 170. So right in line with where the money lines are. Fun way. It should just be a fun watch, quite honestly, but I can't really make heads or tails of what's going to happen in this one. Fiorentina has been so hot and cold. You don't know what to make of them. John mentioned in the chat, Moise Kean, he did miss their last game. I don't know if he's going to be starting for this one. I know he's got like a muscle injury, if I'm not mistaken. He's got like a knock. So lineup's going to be very important for how we look at it.
Project to start, it says to be evaluated. In terms of the injury list on Gazzetta.
All right. Can I hit you with my fun stat? That means nothing, but we're going to play it anyways.
Oh, it means.
Over the last eight seasons, in Bologna's penultimate match week, over 2.5 is hit. all 8 of those games.
I dig it.
Over 2.5 is plus 130.
Yeah, you can't argue with a streak like that.
That's like oh my God, I'm forgetting his name. The guy that hits a home run every opening day.
Nick's boy.
Yeah, he's for the Birds. He just got there. The O'Neill.
Yes, thank you. It's like this that same kind of stat. You got to bet it. That's crazy. Eight seasons in a row, their penultimate match over 2.5, plus 130. Why not?
Edgy, what's up, dude? You gotta tune in earlier, bro. We talked about United. We all back them. All right, it's like lock of the century, man. Man United winning over Tottenham. So you missed it.
Yeah, unfortunately. I mean, Spurs are just getting more and more injured too. It's Kulusevski just had surgery. He's done. So
did he? Oof.
Yeah.
Hard times. No, listen, Scotty, we can't argue with that shit, man. I was kind of looking at the over here too. I think at plus money, it's definitely worth a shot.
Yeah.
And I think before we wrap too, we just have to mention what Eduardo put in the chat here about Parma Napoli, right? Parma's fighting to not get relegated, not safe yet, hosting Napoli. That to me could be trickier for Napoli than it seems on paper. Those kind of provincial clubs with a history, you know, when they're fighting tooth or nail to avoid relegation, sometimes that fight is even more vicious for them. I don't know. I'm not saying
they're not really fighting relegation. I mean, you think either Lecce or Empoli are winning out, because that's the only way they get past.
That's the only way it could happen, right? But yeah, I mean,
I kind of agree, but I don't. I mean, Lecce's got a winnable game against Torino. Empoli has a winnable game against Monza. I mean,
Empoli's got the very winnable game. Interesting. Yeah. But, you know, and do they win out? Probably not, but do you want to put yourself, if you're Parma, in the situation where you go to the last match week against Atalanta and needing a win in Bergamo, a result in Bergamo when Empoli's got Verona next week and Lecce plays your boys Lazio, so maybe not as straightforward, but it just would make things very interesting.
It could be a Lazio team with nothing to play for.
Yeah, and it could be an Atalanta team with nothing to play for.
I mean, so Atalanta has nothing to play for.
That's why they're the only match that's not on Sunday at 2:45, I guess. But it just makes things interesting, right?
Yeah.
No, it definitely does.
So, I mean, I'm not saying they're going to get the job done. Napoli, you know, has the taste of Scudetto in their mouth.
Yeah.
They know they're that close, but
I mean, listen, that's heavyweight.
And then all of a sudden they're behind Inter again, you know?
That's heavyweight, you know? Can they do it? You got guys in that squad that, you know, haven't won shit before, so who knows? Yeah. Mm.
It would be an unbelievable meltdown on Conte's part, though, to see what he would say in a post-game presser if that happened.
Would he still go to Juve is the question. Because Juve fans think it's locked up.
Juve still want him.
Juve still, like, that's all. If I scroll through Twitter and see 200 posts in the time that I scroll through the app without closing it, I would say 140 posts are about how Conte is going back to Juve.
Man. No, because I need Conte at Napoli to buy Chiesa back from, or not back, but to buy Chiesa.
Sounds like he might.
So.
All right, while we're on that, wait, hold on, Scotty. I want your thoughts because I saw a segment. Nemo was talking about it with the show, you know, his show with Carlo. And he was saying that, like, Chiesa was being disrespected. And the talk was like, I was trying to follow the logic. Disrespected, like, well, is he the same player he used to be? Of course he's not. Right. We know that he's been through knee surgeries. He hasn't been a regular starter for a couple of years. Like, he's not that guy anymore. And most people are not under the impression that he's that guy anymore. But like, when you're seeing Nunez and Diaz get all these minutes to, you know, not score and miss chances, whatever, like, didn't Chiesa deserve maybe a little bit more than like his 5 sub appearances? That's a question I have for you because you watch this team week in and week out.
The honest to God answer, Chiesa got hurt by the fact that Liverpool got eliminated in Champions League relatively early. Slot has been known going back to his time in Eredivisie to not rotate players unless he absolutely has to. He doesn't like to rotate. And unlike Klopp, who rotated the sides continuously. And so once that happened and Liverpool were out of FA Cup, out of Champions League, just had that EFL Cup run where they played kids for the most part, where Chiesa did feature. There was no need to rotate guys unless they got hurt. And Diaz, for better or worse, didn't get hurt at all season. Gakpo came back. He was hurt for like a month came back. Nunez hasn't really gotten many minutes because if they started him one more time, they've had to pay Benfica an additional 5 million euros. So it's been Jota, who's been surprisingly healthy for the last 6 weeks of the season. So that's just, that's the breaks with Slot. If you're in a side that has five starting quality forwards and you're slotting in as the sixth because you got no preseason with the team, you're shit out of luck, man. Like, you're not going to get rotated. You're not going to get that many sub appearances besides the occasional 5-10 minute cameo. And that's just what it is.
Yeah.
There's other players that had that happen. Harvey Elliott, who everybody loves and has scored, he scored the fucking goal against PSG in Champions League, also got 0 minutes. So right. It's not just Chiesa that got, you know, hard bit by Slot's, you know, I don't want to say refusal to rotate, but his tendency to not rotate his sides. That's just the name of the game with this, his style of play.
Fair enough. No, I just thought it was an interesting conversation because, you know, you hear super huge narrative, obviously, from the Serie A fans who view it one way. And then, you know, listen, you're the guy who's watching this team week in and week out. You know,
at the end of the day, Liverpool's owners are hedge fund managers. They saw an asset that was depreciated in Chiesa. They bought him, got him healthy, gave him a couple appearances, and they're going to flip him for money. That's just what they did.
No, plain and simple. So I dig it. Johnny Balotelli gang forever, bro. We have to have him come to Inter Miami. Like, that is the only solution that I see. They are struggling right now. They don't have forwards that can score goals. Suarez is 38 and he looks 38. Time to bring in a forward. Balo could be the guy. We'll trade a 38-year-old for a 34-year-old or however old Balo is. I don't know how old he is now.
I bet you Suarez is still in better shape than him, even though Suarez has zero knees left. Zero cartilage in his knees.
Now, he's having a rough start to the year, but I mean, expectedly, he's played a ton. All right, anything else, guys? Anything else in the league, or do you want to wrap this bad boy up?
City to win the cup, minus 130.
Yeah, I mean, yes.
Sorry, cup, sorry, Palace. It's
good.
Just doesn't
good on well Palace for making it this far. I don't see him getting it done. If they do, awesome. Yeah, be tough.
That's all I got.
All right, I guess all we can hope for is some results that make things interesting going into the final match week next week.
Hey, we've had an interesting for the past 7 or 8 weeks, so more of the same. Good luck to everybody. Good luck on your bets. Anything else, guys, hit us up on Twitter, reply to the link, follow, like, subscribe. Really appreciate the support. Appreciate all you guys in the chat. Good luck on your bets, and we'll catch you next week.